special report protests across America. Protests drew close to the White House again last night. Correspondent Boris Sanchez reports the president today is reaching out to leaders.
The president is set to have a teleconference with governors and law enforcement from around the country about getting things back under control. Both of those events are actually closed press, so it's possible that we may not hear directly from President Trump on camera today, despite everything that's gone on over the weekend, over the last 48 hours. Kayleigh McEnany, though, the press secretary, is scheduled to speak with reporters at a briefing at 2 p.m.
Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms would rather the president not speak publicly.
My fear is that the message and the need for change will get lost in the destruction. And it is difficult when you have officers on the street who are human and they are fatigued and they are stressed.
The Secret Service moved the president into a bunker Friday. I'm Mike Moss. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison is now the lead prosecutor in the case of George Floyd's killing. Ellison addressed concerns that only one police officer of the four involved in Floyd's death has been charged so far.
We are moving as expeditiously, as quickly, and as effectively as we can. But I need to protect this prosecution. I am not going to create a situation where somebody can say this was a rush to judgment. Because we're going to say, no, we didn't rush. We were methodical. We were careful. And we made sure that we did everything we needed to do to ensure that this prosecution is successful and that it sticks.
The attorney for George Floyd's family is set to announce findings today of an independent autopsy into his death after a police officer held his knee on Floyd's neck for several minutes. Wall Street stocks are up. The Dow is up 43. S&P up 4 points at this hour. I'm Mike Moss.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. The great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So, yes, they can help share your needs, too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
As life starts to get back to normal here in Yuma, 560 KBOU wants to know what you're thinking when it comes to local businesses and services. Do you need a new car, a dentist, a plumber? Whatever the business or professional service you need, we'd like to know which one is on the tip of your tongue. Be a part of the 560 KBOU Yuma Local Business Survey. It's on the KBOU Facebook page or at KBOUAM.com. You can participate from your phone, tablet, or your computer. For participating, you'll have the chance to win up to $500. Tell us what you're thinking when it comes to using our local businesses here in Yuma. Take the survey now and maybe put some cash in your wallet to spend locally. Hit up our Facebook page or log on to KBOUAM.com.
Stay tuned for the O'Reilly Update with Bill O'Reilly, brought to you by Daybreakers Cafe. Open now with a full menu for dine-in or takeout at the corner of Fortuna Road and North Frontage Road. Dine in or take the diner home. It's real food for real people. Call 342-2110.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Sunny and 102, the high this afternoon, 74 overnight tonight. 105 and partly sunny on Tuesday, 77 Tuesday night. And then up to 109 for the high on Wednesday, 77 on Wednesday night.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Decent Garner Law Firm, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hansen.
Good morning, Yuma. This is KBLU, 560 AM, Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen, and I'm in my makeshift COVID-19 studio with Russ in the KBLU studio, and we're trying to make this work as best as we can.
Good to hear from
and,
you.
Yeah, good to be on the air, back on the air. Lots has happened since the last time I came on. I know Sean was talking last week on Life, Death, and the Law, and this week is my week. We try to alternate every other week. And since I've been on, there's a lot happening in the world. And previously on your show, Russ, you talked about that. A lot of callers called in, giving their opinions about the George Floyd matter and the COVID-19 quarantine, and there's a lot to be said about all those things. And I'm always a skeptic of everything. I don't believe what I see or what I hear until I do the actual research and form an opinion on my own. And I know you're the same way, Russ. You're pretty good at that. Where there's a lot of voices, and oftentimes I feel like we're not presented with the accurate message. And so if I could see the facts, I'd turn my own opinion of those facts and what I think played out. And I think that's kind of how I feel about this George Floyd thing. I don't want to get too much into it. You talked about it a lot last in your show, and the callers called in. I think if I understood your point of view, Russ, you're kind of on board with those that are saying that maybe 9 minutes on somebody's neck was excessive and he should be accountable for that.
The optics look bad. You had people screaming he can't breathe. You got him saying he can't breathe. Everything's out. You're still representing the police force. You've got public. You got cameras. You know what? Just not good.
Yeah, it's not good. It's never good. When somebody loses their life, and I've heard different things, you know, as people called in. Well, his background, he was a criminal anyway. So I guess the mentality is, okay, his life doesn't matter, because he was a criminal anyway, or we look for reasons to justify the death in one way or another. And I think when we find out facts that, oh, he was a criminal, it makes us feel better inside that, oh, okay, it's just another one of the criminals that are off the list or out of our world.
To me, it doesn't.
In reality, he's still a human, you know, and he had a life, and that's gone now. So whether it was right or wrong, I'm not going to be the judge of that. That's what the court system is for. But when you go through law school, there are exercises that they make us do. And oftentimes what we'll do in law school is you'll go through a class, and in this particular class, you'll be presented with a case that has already happened. It's already been adjudicated. And all we know is the facts, but we don't know the result of that. And as you go through those cases, oftentimes the professor will ask you, was this right or wrong? What would you say? And inevitably what will happen is you'll have a divided classroom. You'll have those that say, well, this is right or this is wrong for some reason or another. And oftentimes what they'll do in law school is they'll force you to go to the other side and debate it. So if you were to raise your hand and say, well, this is right, they're going to say, okay, you're on the this is wrong team, and you've got to figure out how to debate this.
They make you take the other side.
Right, exactly. And that I think is a good exercise because you start to open your mind to differing opinions. Whether you agree with them or not, you still have to be able to understand the other side of what you thought was right or wrong so that you can intelligently come back with some sort of argument. And I found that as we would go through that process, I'm a very black and white type personality, meaning when I see an issue, oftentimes, well, it used to be, now that I'm a lawyer, it's different. Now everything's gray most of the time because of this exercise. But before law school, I would look at issues or I'd look at things, and oftentimes it was black or it was white. That was it. There was no middle ground. It was one or the other. But as I went and was trained through law school, going through this type of exercise, you start to think differently, you start to see things a little differently, and you come out of that process seeing things a little bit more gray than black and white. There's always an argument for both sides, whether it's right or wrong. You know, as lawyers, we don't have to, it's not our job to determine what's right or wrong. It's our job to represent our side of the story in a way that is convincing. And there are many years where attorneys couldn't advertise because it was restricted by state laws. The idea was that attorneys have been trained to persuade, and therefore we're going to limit their ability to advertise because they know how to persuade people too much, and we need to restrict that. Now, that all went away a few years ago. There was a court case that went up to the Supreme Court that said, why can't lawyers advertise like doctors or anybody else that's a profession or any other business? That just doesn't make logical sense. And so that got released, but it took many decades of fighting that battle for attorneys to be able to just advertise. So going through the process of law school teaches lawyers to think of both issues, both sides of the issue, and coming out with, it's really gray, you know. I personally think there is black and white still, but when I put on my lawyer hat, I have to forget all that. I might have my personal biases or my personal opinions, but if I'm representing a side that I would have not necessarily agreed with or chosen, I still have to put all those things aside and go with what I've been presented in a way that's convincing. And luckily, and there's attorneys doing this every day. And luckily, I don't have to be one of those because I practice a different type of law. And you know this, Russ.
Yeah.
We practice exclusively in the area of estate planning, which means that we try to avoid those fights by helping families prepare before a fight ensues. We look for those fights in the future. I ask questions like, well, do you have a good relationship with your kids or with this person or that person? What would happen if they started doing drugs or if they became incapacitated or died before you? And do you have a backup plan? So we go through these scenarios, and oftentimes as I do that with my clients, they'll say, wow, I never thought of that before. And that's my job, is to pull these things out, because we have seen it a lot. We've gone through many, many estate plans, and because of that, we've almost seen everything. And we know that if you're telling me something like, oh, they never fight or they don't do this and the other, and I ask specific questions, I can start to see indicators that I've seen before in people that do fight. And so it's necessary to protect the estate or that person's family or that plan in such a way that if the inevitable fight comes, we're prepared for it and it's not a fight at all. We've already put in provisions that don't allow for fighting, such as what we call a no contest clause, for example. So there are ways to structure things to avoid fights. And I'm fortunate enough to be in the field where I try to look for ways to avoid court, because court is always unpredictable. Whether you have a winning case or not, or you feel like you do, nobody really wins in court. It just costs a lot of money, a lot of stress and emotion, and it's where nobody wants to be. Not even attorneys want to be there. But there are some attorneys that, you know, that's their job, to present both sides, whether they agree with it or not, put that aside and advocate for their client. I'm the type of attorney where I look for ways to not even get to there. We don't want to go to court. We don't want our families to go through court. We don't want people to be fighting. And there's ways to protect against that, and that's what we do here on a daily basis at Deason, Garner & Hanson. And you know this, Russ. We look for ways to avoid court battles and make things a smooth transition from either incapacity and ultimately death to those that you want to control things and those that you want to receive things, and it makes it nice and regulated and private, really, in all cases. We've got to go to a break. We're running up against the heartbreak.
You do.
We will be right back after this. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma. Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Be sure to listen Sunday afternoon from noon to 2 for the radio show that talks about all things real estate with award-winning broadcaster Stephen Gasquet. It's everything you need to know about your home from buying and selling. Brought to you by PhD. When your home needs a professional home doctor, call PhD 344-9111.
How can you find a Medicare plan that's a perfect fit? Call me, Mike Arce, the Medicare Plan Man. I'm your local licensed insurance professional specializing in Medicare plans that takes the time to know and to make sure you understand your Medicare options. Call me today, Mike Arce, the Medicare Plan Man, 928-581-1342, to schedule your no-cost, no-obligation appointment. That's Mike Arce, the Medicare Plan Man, 928-581-1342. Call today.
Arizona, you never cease to amaze us. From your determination to your resiliency, both individually and as a community. Because of you, the Arizona Lottery can use its resources to help make our state stronger. From supporting small businesses to protecting Arizona's most vulnerable people and giving hope to future generations. We've been in this with you since 1981, paving the way for a better tomorrow, for our better tomorrow. Learn more at arizonalottery.com/givesback.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. This is 560 AM KBLU. I am attorney Adam Hansen. I'm in the makeshift COVID-19 studio, and we're talking to Russ in his studio. He's on the air trying to make sure that technology is working correctly. We're still trying to work through this process, and there's hiccups here and there every once in a while, just like as always with dealing with technology, but we're trying to do our best. And hopefully we return to the day when we are back to normal. I don't know if that will ever be the same.
I hope you're wrong.
Yeah. So do I. This last week I was going to say, it's really been on my mind. I don't know if personally we'll ever go back to what we deemed as normal. I don't see that happening. Maybe we come up with some sort of vaccine in the future, like a flu shot type thing. But I don't know. I just don't know if it'll ever happen. And part of me thinks, you know, is this some sort of power grab by, you know, some conspiracy theory? I always think of these conspiracy theories, and I think a lot of people think of them. I don't know if they're true or not, but
it is a power
part of me
grab.
Thinks,
well, you know, we've always had flus, and we've always had disease. We've always had it, you know. We didn't shut it down for AIDS. We didn't shut it down for Hong Kong flu. We didn't shut it down for anything. SARS. So this one we treated differently, even though we've had similar things in the past. But we'll see. We'll see what we've learned from it.
I was talking to Sean over the weekend. We went to dinner together, and we were talking about the idea. And I don't know if this is right or wrong. I don't know if it's just the conspiracy theorist in me, but I always think there's some sort of underlying cause. And in this particular case, I mean, I wouldn't put it past China. Like I was telling my wife and Sean at dinner that I really could see China doing this as a tester, meaning they released a virus, and it is a killer for some, if not treated properly, you know, in time, kind of things like that. And even sometimes when you treat it, it does kill. But at the same time, I would say it's not as aggressive as a purposeful biological weapon that could be used. to wipe out people, like, for example, mustard gas. And so I could see where if China really wanted to test things, this was the way to do it. How fast can a contagion spread across the world once we release it into the wild? And take note of that in the sense of, okay, we just saw how this happened and how fast it got around the world. Now we know. Now we know how quickly we could spread something that we really wanted to spread and how fast it jumps from continent to continent. Because at the time when this all happened, I would argue that we were not prepared in the sense of we didn't know, we've never had this before. Yes, we had the Spanish flu back in the early 20s, but to that end, I would argue that we did not have the travel kit capabilities that we do now, meaning we can get to Hong Kong in 15 hours in an airplane, even faster if you're going on a Learjet. And so we can jump continents very, very quickly, and contagion can spread, and we saw it spread very, very quickly. And I could see China using this as a tester. We're going to put this out there. We didn't know about it, for example. We didn't know, and we tried to do our best to contain it once we found out. And, what could we do? That's their argument. In reality, you know, facts are coming out that maybe they did know, and they were trying to hide it from the world. And there might be some sort of negligence there. Maybe it's gross negligence or purposeful negligence. But I don't know if we'll ever know the answer to that. My biggest thing is, well, what do we do about it? And early on, once we shut down the U.S., I was talking to my wife about this. I said, you know, I could see where people are going to become angry at China. If they weren't before, they're going to become angry. I'm not just talking national leaders. I'm talking the everyday person. We're going to start seeing people directing ire at China. And what that's going to do is cause this friction because they might have had a loved one that died. For example, in those European countries like Italy that was really hit hard and impacted, France, Spain, where they might have had a loved one die that otherwise wouldn't have had they not contracted the Wuhan virus. And so who do you blame for that? You're going to look for blame somewhere, and it's going to be directed back to China.
Well, and
I
think you look for blame, too, because they won't help by releasing information, won't allow anybody to go in and find out, you know, where it originated, who the ground, you know, the zero patient was, the first patient. They just shut everything off. So, of course, that makes everybody more skeptical if they weren't already.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think in times of crisis, we look to blame, and
sure. We
saw this with George Floyd. You know, you're looking for blame. You're looking to blame somebody, some sort of scapegoat, because deep down, we want to make ourselves feel better about, oh, it happened because of this, that, or the other. So we can move on with our lives.
Well,
but
we blame lawyers normally.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, so do I. Most of the time, it's their fault anyway. You're exactly right.
Hey,
but
I have a question from a listener.
Yeah, let's take it.
Is it legal to have multiple trusts to hold multiple life insurance policies for the same group of people?
Is it legal to have multiple trusts to hold the same life insurance policies?
To hold multiple life insurance. So if I wanted to have six trusts, could I have six trusts and have six different life insurance policies and one in each trust?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's no limit, or you can do whatever you want?
Yeah. So a trust is like a private contract. You can
make
as many as you want. Kind of like an LLC or a corporation. You can form as many businesses as you want. It's an entity. If you want to create that many entities, then you can do that. And if they have a specific purpose, like holding a specific life insurance policy, power to you. Yeah, there's nothing against that.
So if I wanted to get six life insurance policies, I could hold six different trusts, and maybe it's a different recipient for each one. And I'd want it a little differently, and I don't have to put them all in a single trust.
You don't have to. It'd be more consolidated and easier. I mean, that one trust could do it all. You could name the one trust as the holder or the owner of all those policies, and then specifically list out in that particular trust, well, these beneficiaries.
If you did it all in one trust, then the executor would see everything and maybe somebody would not want that possibility out there.
Yeah, so there's reasons that a person might have to keep things private on that level, and that would be a way to do it.
Although trusts are very private by nature. The courts don't see it. The public doesn't see it. But somebody's going to have to see it.
Right. Yeah. Sees it. Who sees it? Do you know, Ref?
Do I know? Whoever they assign. It could be a lawyer. It could be a friend. It could be a relative. It could be anybody.
Number one, a private trust, which all trusts are private, unless you record it or something, but you don't have to record it. There's no law to record them, and most people choose not to, which I agree with. But the number one way that a person could find out is it gets released to them or it is given to them by somebody that does have a right to see it, which we would call a trustee. A trustee is the manager of the trust. So if a trustee releases it to somebody, a party, then that's the first way. The second way is any named beneficiary in a trust has the right to see certain things of the trust, meaning their beneficial share and the administrative clauses of that trust such that they know who is named as the trustee, who's coming behind them, and what their rights are if that trustee is not doing what they're supposed to be doing under the terms of the trust. So number one, if you release it out into the wild, somebody, the trustee does that. That's the first way that a private trust can be seen or knowledge is known by other people. Number two, a beneficiary has the right to see the trust, the administrative portions and their beneficial share portions. Maybe not all of it, but at least those two things. And then finally, a person that is a successor has a right to certain information. They need to know that they have, if the trust is being passed on to them, they have a right to information such as financials from the previous trustee that was running the trust, so they don't get put in a bind. Kind of akin to political office. When the next person comes into political office, they want to know what happened before them, what teams are in place and things like that. So it's kind of that type of scenario in a trust. It's a private exchange of power or authority from one trustee to the next. We call it a successor trustee. And that successor trustee wants to know what happened before them so they can deal with what might be coming down the road, whether that's a financial issue or a beneficiary issue. So trusts are very good to keep things private in the family. We highly recommend them. And in most cases, when I deal with families, that's the best way to do your estate plan is using a trust. That's what we highly recommend. There are some times when people, they have legitimate reasons why they wouldn't use a trust, or maybe they don't have things that would justify creating a trust. But in most cases, trusts are the best. I would say all cases, but sometimes finances doesn't allow for a person to put a trust into place. Rather, they would rely on a will, a last will and testament, to try and evidence what they want to happen if they became incapacitated or if they died. They use their will. In most states, our states are very similar when it comes to who gets your stuff when you die. If you were to die and you didn't have something in place, in other words, you died intestate without a will or without a trust, then your heirs are going to be determined by state law automatically. The moment that you die, they are solidified by state law. And in most cases, most states are very, very similar. And it looks like, you know, if a person is married, then obviously spouse, usually in most states, will get something, if not all of the estate. And if there are kids, then the kids come after usually spouse. In Arizona, it's kind of weird because, and most states are like this too, the default laws aren't what you would expect them to be when it comes to second marriages or third marriages. Oftentimes what I find is that people will get married multiple times until they pass away. Not that maybe they divorced or maybe their spouse died, and maybe they had kids with that previous relationship. Well, if you get remarried and you die without a will in place or a trust in place, the laws aren't very good when it comes to that kind of stuff, meaning oftentimes the spouse is not going to get the whole pie. He or she is going to share that with the deceased spouse's kids. And most people don't like that. That's a hard pill to swallow. They would rather their spouse that was with them up until they passed away get everything. And if you don't have proper planning in place, that's just not going to happen. And I've seen time and time again where people will die without planning in place, and this is a scenario, and that surviving spouse is now having to battle with the deceased spouse's kids and determine, you know, what she gets to keep, if anything, because the kids are just, you know, she or he was the person that came in later in life, and now they didn't really have a relationship with him or her, and now they've got to battle it out. We've got to go to a hard break. We'll be right back after this. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is 560 AM KBLU. I'm attorney Adam Hansen, and you're listening to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm live in my makeshift COVID-19 studio, and we've got Russ actually in the KBLU studio a little distance away, trying to make sure the audio is working as best as we can. We're always working through issues with technology, trying to perfect them, and hopefully it gets better as we go on. Before the break, Russ, you had asked a question that came from a listener regarding trust. Before we get too far into that vein, I just want to make mention of one of the good things that came out of COVID-19, but really we were forced as a law firm to try and get our message out there in a different way. Previously to the lockdown, we had been doing seminars monthly, two seminars a month at least, out at the libraries here in town, and those were very successful. A lot of people would come to those, and they would get the information that they needed to learn in order to get their affairs in order or to review their current planning, make sure that it's up to date, and get things going. Well, when COVID-19 came about and we were locked down, the library shut down. And that was our typical forum. It was a good neutral spot where people could come and get educated as to what their options were. But the library just wasn't allowing it because they weren't allowing any programming. And so that that left us kind of high and dry. We needed to figure out a way to get the continue to get the message out to help our Yuma families understand what their options were. And so we turned our energy to the internet. And we had had that project on the back burner for many, many years, probably 4 or 5 years. But we had never figured out or dedicated enough time to it to get it to work out. And so once this happened and we were kind of forced to do what we needed to do, meaning we couldn't do our seminars publicly anymore at the library, we turned our energy to the online forum, and we were able to successfully do that. So if you browse to our website today at yuma.law, you type in yuma.law and you'll go straight to our website, you'll be able to click on a button right now in real time and access that information that you need to know in order to get your affairs in order, or review what you already have in place and see if it's the best thing for you. And I think that's revolutionary. We had never seen that done before, and we constantly are trying to do things like that where we're innovating in our field. And it was a challenge, I'll tell you that much. And we're still working through the kinks, but I'm happy to report that it's up and ready. So anybody that wants to go and look at that, they can see it. You'll be able to click on the button that says click here and access the seminar in real time and learn what your options are. What's really neat about it is it also gives you the opportunity to directly set a calendar appointment with me or with my partner, Sean. And that's really awesome, where you don't have to call anybody. You don't have to do anything other than click on buttons and set. You'll be able to see our live schedule and see when the openings are and what works best for your particular time schedule, and click right on our calendars and book a time. And that, I think, is awesome. It really cuts out the middleman and allows us to directly deal with our clients one-on-one. If you have questions about what you see in the online seminar, we're working on a way to connect that to a Facebook Live session where you can watch the online seminar at a particular time and day, and then at the very end, Sean and I will come in and we'll be able to answer questions live through a Facebook-type forum. And that's really almost exactly the same as it would be in a live situation. When we, like I mentioned before, when we would do our seminars at the library, we would go through the seminar, and at the very last part of it, we would open it up to the group to ask questions, and we would do a question and answer series. And that's one of my favorite parts of seminars. The seminar gets, you know, redundant here and there. We don't have a script. We don't follow a script. We kind of speak off the cuff the whole every time, but it becomes very similar oftentimes. And so I really look forward to the point where we open it up to question and answers, because it's not scripted either, and it's just true wanting to know questions from the audience, and it drives a really good conversation. And the hope is that we can give confidence to the people that are there or listening to the seminar so that they know what their options are and what to do at that particular point. So we're trying to mimic that question and answer type forum online in some regard. And we're looking at Facebook to do that, and we'll let you know. We'll release that on Facebook, the announcement, when we're ready to do that. And we're going to talk about it today as a team when that time will be. And it's going to be pretty soon, probably within the next couple of weeks. We'll host a live seminar, and then at the end of it, there will be a live question and answer. So we're really looking forward to that. And like I said, I hate to say it this way, but one of the good things for our firm that came out of this whole quarantine was this online seminar and these abilities to do things efficiently, really, and cut out middlemen here and there, where clients can just directly book their appointments on our calendars, where they can get the information that they need any time of the day or night while they're lying in bed at night, at 12 o'clock in the morning.
Can't sleep.
I don't have to be bothered. Yeah. And they can watch that.
Yeah.
Right after they binge their Netflix thing, they can watch our seminar and find out what their next steps are. And I think that's just really neat that it's 24/7 around the clock that people can access this information. And we're hoping that the word gets out, because I think a lot of people might have doubts about going to an in-person seminar, when we would advertise our seminars, a lot of people would be concerned, thinking it's some sort of sales pitch or like a timeshare type thing, and that's not the case at all. In fact, it's an educational class, really, more than anything. And we even give you a little certificate at the end of it, because by the end of it, you've gone through training and you know what your options are and what some of the legal doctrines are and things like that to watch out for. So it's more of an educational class than some sort of timeshare seminar. And I think this moving online allows people who wouldn't have otherwise gone to an in-person seminar because of their stigma of that type of thing, can do it from the privacy of their own home and on their mobile device. And I think that's pretty revolutionary, pretty cool. Aside from us being locked in our houses for 3 days.
Yeah.
The cool thing that came out of it for us was the ability to do this, because we were forced to. And my wife was reminding me as I left home this morning to come to work, she was reminding me of the book The Power of Habit. And I don't know if you've read that or if the audience has read that. But if you're listening to this, it's a really good book that you should look up on Amazon or on Google. It's called The Power of Habit. Really good for you to read. And it talks about different principles. And one of the principles that she brought up, my wife, this morning in our conversation talking about the George Floyd thing, was that in that book it talks about crises for opportunity. And because we were talking back and forth about our views about what happened and what the rioters were trying to accomplish, you know, is that you've got those that are trying to protest because of they really truly feel the way that they do about a particular issue. And then I think you have others that are just taking advantage of that particular forum and then take it to the extreme and they start to riot and things like that. But she brought up this book and she said in the book, she reminded me that in the book it talks about how, and it gives examples through our history of where you see a crisis, oftentimes you'll see an opportunity. And we see that all the time with school shootings, for example. When a school shooting typically happens, there'll be furor that entails very quickly and cries for our gun rights to be restricted in some form or fashion. And that's what we're talking about. Crisis loves to present an opportunity. And in this case with George Floyd, we were talking about that principle and how this situation isn't new. We've had this before.
Yeah.
And every time it happens, you've got the same voices come to the surface. And oftentimes I feel like the screaming voices that come to the surface aren't really what the majority are thinking. They're just louder. They're louder and they dominate the conversation. And it's very difficult to, and we never want to mute a voice. We want to listen to those voices and debate back and forth. But I think it's a opportunity for people to come to the public forum and present their views of if we need to make policy changes, we can do that. But screaming and, being the loudest voice doesn't mean that you're right.
Yes.
And oftentimes, I think that's what we hear in the media. You have because they have the loudest voice. They have the ability to print things in print in our newspapers. They have the ability to flood our email inbox with alerts and things like that of news articles. And as I read news nowadays, it's hard not to be skeptical, because it seems like no matter who you're reading, whether it's the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times or the Yuma Sun, whoever you read, that article, that particular writer had something in mind. And they want to get their point across such that you're convinced that what they're writing is truth. And I'm always, personally, I'm just skeptical of anything that I read or I hear until I, like I said, see the facts. And I want to see the actual facts. I don't want your opinion of the facts. I don't want your slant on the facts or your view. Even if it is right or I determine it's right, I want to see the facts first. And I want to put those all together in my own mind, work that out logically and come to my own conclusion. I don't want you to come to my conclusion for me.
I wish more people would do that, Adam. I do.
And that's the narrative that we see. And I watch Fox News. I watch CNN. I want to see all of the views. But I watch them with a grain of salt. And I listen to them with a grain of salt. Because they all have their purposes. And oftentimes it just comes down to money. How much money, more money can we get, you know? And that's, I'm not knocking that. That's the capitalistic system that we work in,
we live in.
And that's fine. But to the average person that takes them for truth, that's dangerous. And I think we need to do a better job educating people as to taking in the right information and the facts and then coming to their own conclusion. We got to hit another break. We'll be right back after this. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
We'll get you the information you need every day, Monday through Friday, with the Border Reports. That's the latest information on the wait times of the ports of entry, the border crossing wait times and your updates, as well as the road reports in the afternoon with traffic restrictions and road closures due to road construction and repairs. The Border Reports in the morning, the road reports in the afternoon, brought to you by RV World, serving Yuma since 1966. RV World is located on Gila Ridge Road, exit Interstate 8 and Araby Road, then west on Gila Ridge, about a quarter mile. RV World.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service, there's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center, and when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague's handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
If you're interested in a career in media sales, El Dorado Broadcasters has an opportunity for you. A media sales representative designs multimedia market solutions for their clients, including radio advertising, digital solutions, event sponsorships, and more. If you have experience in outside sales and calling on many different accounts, then you already have a great start into the business. Every business has to advertise. If you have media sales experience, that's even better. This is not a commission-only sales position. We'll give you a salary, train you, and you'll make commissions on your very first sale. If you like what you hear, call 928-344-4980. That's 928-344-4980. Successful media sellers make an excellent living, and with hard work, it won't take long for you to get there. Ready to join the world of media sales? Send your resume to hiremenow at edbroadcasters.com. That's hiremenow at edbroadcasters.com. El Dorado Broadcasters is an equal opportunity employer.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Attorney Adam Hansen. This is 560 AM KBLU, and I'm in my makeshift COVID-19 studio. Russ is on the other end in the KBLU studio in town, and we're trying to make technology work, like I mentioned before in the previous before the previous breaks. And prior to the break, we were talking about the concept of crisis loves an opportunity, and the idea that we, as a law firm, we look for ways to avoid court and challenges and things like that, and that would be considered a crisis. What we don't want to happen, and we see more often than not, when people don't have proper planning in place, what will happen is there's this crisis in their life when a person becomes incapacitated or dies. Maybe it's something they never really thought of, because it's not a fun thought to think of a parent or a child or a loved one or a friend passing away or becoming incapacitated, but it happens, and it's going to happen eventually. And you have to have a plan in place. Otherwise, if you don't plan, it's going to be very difficult in that crisis type situation. And it's an opportunity for other people to take advantage. Mm-hmm. And I see this all the time. They step in because there's a crisis. They see that people are emotionally distraught or they're having a hard time, and they take advantage of that person. And that's unfortunate, but I see it often. And the idea of waiting for the crisis to happen and not anticipating it is just setting a person up for failure. So we're looking for ways to help people. Families understand what their options are. And our job isn't to tell you exactly what to do all the time, but we can tell you what has happened over time, because we've had a lot of experiences through this. We can tell you, well, when we saw this happen, or what you're trying to do or accomplish, these are some of the things that came up. This is how we can protect you from this, that, or the other. And our job is to tell you what your options are. And it's my philosophy that you're in control, that the person's in control. It's their plan, it's their family. My job is just to tell them what their options are. If they choose a particular option, my job is to tell them what the consequences are and what the potential issues might be with that particular option that they chose. But I don't want to force anybody to do anything. I want them to come to a conclusion as to what's right for them and their particular family, and I support that, and I build that legally for them. We do make recommendations, that's for sure, because we've seen things go bad so often with people that don't have planning. But at the end of the day, if a person chooses to do something, even though I've told them that that's probably not going to end well, I still will do it for them, because that's what they want, and that's their plan, even though I've advised them against it. It doesn't happen very often. Most of the time, people will go with what we recommend. But from time to time, you've got the occasional, hard-headed person out there that thinks they know better. And that's okay. But I support that. You know, I want people to have their freedom to choose and not feel like that they were forced into anything. So looking for a crisis and taking advantage of people as an opportunity is what we're trying to avoid. That's why we encourage people to understand what their options are. The number one way you can do that is going to our online seminar. You don't even have to go in person anymore. Now you can just go to our online seminar. It's so powerful and it's so educational that we highly recommend anybody that books an appointment on our calendars to watch it first before they come in, because it sets them up for success. And once they come into my office, they've already got some of the ideas available to them. And we feel so passionate about it because of that reason of experience with people that watch it prior to coming in compared to those that do not watch it or haven't been to a seminar. It's night and day. Oftentimes we spend so much more time with the person that hasn't seen the seminar, either in person or online, than that person that has, because the people that don't watch it, it's like starting from square one. And we have to talk about legal concepts that could have been learned on that person's own time, and they are empowered with the information before they come in, having watched a seminar or gone to a seminar in person. And we just start off, you know, with our feet running. When we hit the ground, we're running. And it's such a night and day issue that we highly encourage anybody that books an appointment on our calendar to do that. And our staff has been instructed to encourage anybody that calls in to set an appointment to try and get that person to watch the seminar before they came into their appointment or come into their appointment. And it saves me time, and it saves Sean time. And because of that, we want to pass that on. Time is money, especially when it comes to our world. We want to be able to help as many families and clients as we can, and we want to do that effectively and efficiently. And so if you're saving me time, that's saving me money. And we push that actual savings along to the person that watches the online seminar before they come into their appointment. Any planning that we are going to do for that family after having watched the online seminar, we automatically apply a $200 seminar credit to the legal fees that we charge for doing that particular plan or that particular legal issue, because we feel so strongly about how beneficial it is, and it saves us time, and we want to push that savings on to the actual person that takes time out of their day to watch the seminar content online. So don't set yourself up for failure. Look to get a plan in place. Oftentimes that includes a living trust of some form or fashion, like Russ, you brought up earlier in the show. We talked about multiple trusts for multiple life insurance policies that can be done. Most of the time, people will consolidate everything into one living trust that has the ability to manage and distribute the assets to those that you care about. And you get to name the person that you trust to manage that particular trust when you become incapacitated or you pass away. So trusts are the best way to do planning nowadays. But sometimes they're not the right choice for everybody. And that's the value of booking a calendar appointment on my calendar or on Sean's calendar. And you can do that without even calling the office. You can just go straight to our website, to yuma.law, and look at the times that are available on our calendars and book right there. And before you come in, you'll be invited to watch the online seminar, and we're ready to hit the ground running. And if you don't have anything in place, I'd encourage you to call my office or go online. Our number is 928-783-4575. That's 928-783-4575. And talk to the staff and get it on our calendar to talk about what we can do for your particular family. You might have something in place already. Maybe it's been a lot of time since you got that in place, and we can look at that, and we can give you some ideas of how the laws have changed, and maybe you want to do updates here and there, or maybe it's a clean bill of health. But you don't know until you come in, and it's a free opportunity to sit down with a lawyer and go over what you have and get some advice. And we'll talk to you next Monday. Next Monday it's going to be Sean on the air, and this has been Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM KBLU. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBOU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.